You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Hot Tuesday, guys. I'm back. I think my show was a little better than Wendy Williams' Hot Topics. Yeah, I think that I would say so. Well, anyway, guys, I got some really good things to talk about today with you. Juicy, juicy, juicy stuff. First, I want to talk about myself because, you know, some people do know I had a situation, as they call it, situation. I had a situation where I was falsely accused of doing a burglary. Can you imagine that? Me going in, kicking in doors. I mean, my line of duty, sometimes you got to kick in a door or two. But being accused of kicking in doors, being accused of something very heinous, I would say. I was also falsely accused of, I don't want to say, because, you know, it's going to be a lawsuit coming up soon. So I'll leave that juicy part out once it's revealed to the public. But I was falsely accused of committing a burglary that I didn't commit. And finally, guys, I thought I had to wait for June the 10th for the verdict. And of course, the judge saw between the lies. Mind you guys, it was a Newark police officer that came up with this story about me breaking into his home and committing heinous acts, different crimes. But long story short, charges were dismissed, as I thought they would be, because it's not too many times where you can tell a lie without it getting found out. So I got that burden off my chest, guys. This happened back in 2020. Due to COVID, the case couldn't be heard. Finally got my day to prove the truth. And, you know, my line of work is, it's confirmed. So it is confirmed that it has been dismissed. For all of my people that were with me on it, I'd like to say thank you. You know, I'd like to really thank you guys for hanging in there with me throughout the whole case. Knowing that I was innocent throughout the whole entire time, I really appreciate it. Because you know what, guys? It's called malicious behavior. And it's called prosecutorial misconduct. It's a lot of things that went on in my case that weren't right, which gives me grounds to, you know, file a lawsuit now, which definitely is going to happen. Because I was treated unfairly. And sometimes in my line of work, you don't know how unfair you could be treated until the shoe is on the other foot. I know tons of people in law enforcement right now who's been falsely accused. They have to go through the motions. They have to go through financial distress. They have to pay legal fees for monies they don't even have, unless you go with the attorney that's still playing sides, and then you're going to have a real problem later on. But guys, I'd like to tell you, there was a guy that was on the show not too long ago. You know, he talked about some things that happened to him in his life, and they weren't good things. They were very sad. And, you know, a small recap of, he met a young lady. He was now in love because he didn't know how to love at one time in his life. So now he found true love. And then, you know, he gets the biggest blow of it all. He finds out that the love of his life has been doing things that she should not have been doing. But sometimes, guys, you know, and ladies, when you pull the trigger too fast, what do? You've already shot the gun. Sometimes you gotta not even put your finger on the trigger. You gotta wait. You have to analyze. You have to be smart. You actually have to catch the mouse on the sticky trap. Sometimes it's not about catching the mouse and breaking his neck on the trap. Sometimes you have to set out bait. Bait them in, see what they got, okay? Because they're always going to get caught. You know, you put a little cheese out there. As a matter of fact, mice don't even really like cheese. They like the smell. They don't like to eat it. It's the scent that drags them in. They really like peanut butter. So when you drag them in with a little bit of peanut butter and you get to see like where they're at with it, you know, you get to really find out what's going on with this mouse. They'll get on the sticky trap. I don't know if you guys ever seen this before, but I have. They get on the sticky trap and it's 1 foot on, 1 foot off. Like, and they're screaming, they're squealing, help, 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 I'm caught, help, you know? So sometimes it pays to just throw a little bait out there, see what happens, and then see if you could actually catch the person in the act versus putting your finger on the trigger, pulling it and saying, I've killed him. Now I don't know what happened. You know, sometimes, and I'll give you this good example, a mouse will get stuck on the trap. He breaks free. And what do you know? Now you see what hole he's going back into. So now you get to now put out the big trap because now you know the hidden secret. All right, I know where you're coming in and out of. Now is your time to go bye-bye because you will not eat my bread anymore. You know, so these are the type of things you have to do. A lot of people want to know right now what's going on. And they'll confront you and they'll say, this is what happened. You know, I pulled the trigger a little too fast. And it happens throughout toxic relationships, domestic violence situations, where people pull the trigger a little too fast. And then what do you know? You know nothing. So this guy's coming on. He's going to tell you, because, you know, it's better when you hear from the horse's mouth and not mine. He's going to tell you what he did, how he set the trap, and how the mouse got caught. And then the mouse didn't want to, you know, get caught again. So real interesting story, guys. You know, and sometimes we take for granted the people that we have in our lives that are good people. And we take advantage of them by, you know, having our side pieces, you know, our biscuit and our French fries and our coleslaw. And sometimes you even have an apple pie. It's like, it's so good. You want an apple pie to go along with the side pieces, you know, to make the meal complete. But in this case, you know, this guy really thought he found love. And it's nothing to second guess because we all have emotional feelings. We'll throw ourselves out there and we'll say, hey, listen, I think I'm in love. You know, it's the honeymoon stage, as I was told. You know, you go through the honeymoon stage, not the honeymoon stage. It's the honeymoon. Everybody's horny and excited. And they're like, you know what? I'm in love. And by the way, guys, it happened to my own family member. My brother went through the honeymoon stage. And thank goodness that he is still married 21 years later to his wife. They got married at a very young age. And they're still so much in love with two children, 19 and 21. And they're still in love, thank goodness. And they've shared a lot through the years. They've had one incident of infidelity. And believe it or not, not on my brother's end, but my sister-in-law's end. I'm not trying to put her business out there. Everybody makes mistakes in life, you know? That's why it's called life. Some people learn from their mistakes. Some people have what's called is repetitive behavior. You know, some people want to play the field forever. They want to be that game player, you know? And it happens, you know? They think just because women go through the changes of life that men don't. Men go through a change of life as well. You know, it's called, you know, male anxiety. You know, they reach 50 and their mind goes, oh my God, I'm 50 now. I got to conquer the world. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do everything I always said I wanted to do. And I never got a chance to do it. They go through something at the age of 50, which is male menopause. You know, they start, instead of getting hot flashes, they go through flashbacks. You know, they start reliving their childhood dream of, yeah, I always wanted to be that drug dealer. You know, I always wanted to be that guy that had like two different Mercedes and all the women and all these necklaces. Do you see older men now that are over 50? They don't even look over 50. They don't even dress like they're 50. You know, back in the days of pictures I've seen of my family members, mind you, you know, third world country, so I get it. But they had polyester pants and they rocked those polyester pants with the crease. And guess what? They got all the ladies And God forbid they put starch on them. So now they were shiny polyester pants. And then they had the Cadillacs, you know, they had, you know, well, in the Dominican Republic, they had mopeds and motorcycles. So the United States, they had Cadillacs and I can't, I think it was the Crown Victorias that were hot back then. You know, I see pictures of, I'll tell you guys, my husband, he has photographs of him back in those days where he was like a cool cat. You know, he had the curls in his hair. I don't know if they were Jerry curls because he has a pretty good texture of hair, but he had long hair. Then he went from the stage of curls to dreadlocks. And by the way, guys, if he had those dreads today, count me out because I'm not, I have nothing against it. It fits people, you know, it's a sex attraction magnet, I guess. I'm not sure. They got it back from Stella Got a Groove On, you know, being in Jamaica, you know, getting her groove back with the dreadlock guys. These are the things that were in. So now here we are. I think Stella Got a Groove Back was 20 something years ago, maybe. You know, now it's the Baldilocks that are in. Everybody wants a bald-headed guy. You know, the bald-head guys, they got it going on. He has no hair. Oh my God, I could rub his head all night. You know, from what I'm hearing from the single ladies, they have a thing with Baldilocks now. You know, and that's weird because women have a thing for guys with bald heads. So guys should also, because now this is a trend, be like, I want my woman bald. You know, I want my woman to have Baldilocks. That way it cuts now the weaves out. It cuts all the other shenanigans with this fake hair. You know, fortunately for me, I do have pretty hair, but you know, I've never thought of, you know, having dreadlocks. Now, if I had a condition where it required me to be bald, I would go full-fledged, like count me in. You know, and I would embrace it and I would love it. I'll give you a quick story about my mom. She died from a brain tumor that was cancerous, and she had to go bald. All that beautiful hair she had, the chemo just pulled it out. It was like strands. So she finally just cleared it off entirely because that was the new her. That was her new way of life she had to adapt to. And we were kind of disappointed when she lost her hair, but we still loved her the same. You know, it was just that thing of having her around, having her, you know, in any condition. You know, when you love your mom through it all. You know, and I give a shout out to the women that are going through the transition right now of chemotherapy and having to lose their hair. You know, it's a transition for the person and also the family members. So I give, you know, my condolences. Just want to have a brief moment of silence for the children in Texas that lost their lives. Thank you so much, guys, for that. You know, that was very heartbreaking. For those innocent little ones to lose their lives. But my main question is, and we're going to get down to that one day, very soon. Evacuation plans in place. How many schools, how many businesses have evacuation plans in place for traumatic situations such as Texas? Such as Virginia, how many times people are put into bad situations and there's no way for people to have an evacuation plan ahead of time. Remember in school they used to do the fire drills? This is no comparison to a fire drill. So, you know, people need to pre-plan, you know, just like 9/11. People have now pre-planned for 9/11 if it ever was to happen again. People have a plan in place of what is supposed to go on. And it's a little sad, you know, to know that people are gonna go through these type of things, you know, in the future. And we have to be aware of the things that will happen that are unforeseen because sometimes we don't don't plan because we don't expect to plan. You know, we just have situations at hand that we just deal with immediately, which is not good. Guys, our caller is on. So let's hear what our caller has to say. Hey, caller, how are you doing today? Caller?
Hello?
Hey, caller, how are you?
Pretty good.
You know, we left off last time with you, and I wanted to catch up because people had questions. You know, it was like a TV show. It's like you died off the show and we never heard anything back from you again. So I needed to clear the air on some things that people had questions to, and I wanted to clear the air on some questions that I had just following it up, you know, an update, finding out about now moving forward in your life. So some things that I wanted to know as well. So we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of one important question. A gentleman had asked before, how easy is it for you to move on past marriage and then falling in love with someone who has your back?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been through two marriages, and I'll tell you what had happened. The screaming and the hollering carried on to the marriages. So I was really suffering. I never got over it. It's still, the screaming and hollering at the women that I love the most, and it was just horrible. When I think back on it, my dad used that tactic as control. You holler and scream at a young kid, he's scared to death. So he doesn't, he's scared to death. And that's just part of it. And then with the beatings and the punching me and then that stuff, it was horrible. I'll tell anybody this, like don't ever hit your, I ain't gonna say don't ever hit your kids because everybody got their own way of how they raised their kids, but I never hit my kids. I never beat my kids at all. So at some point, I realized that this is just not, I know I was falling to that same pattern my dad, but I was able to catch myself and say, I can't do this. I can't holler at him. And then when they were getting older, I was still trying to holler at him. Like, and Lisa's, my ex-wife said to me, you can't do that to them kids. They almost grown now. You can't do that. So that was part of a wake-up call as well. I can actually say I'm a whole lot better than I ever was. I'm more calm, cool, collective. Although I did fly off the handle with my daughter the other day, and I said something I shouldn't have said to her, and I definitely have to apologize to her. She said that yesterday wasn't a time for it because she had a cookout, and I just had to let her have her moment. But when I see her again, I gotta really sit down and tell her I didn't really mean that. It just came out. This came out the wrong way.
So,
Abuse for anybody.
when you were on the show last, we talked about your relationship life, and you said that you were happy, you finally found love, and this was new for you, loving all over again. What about an update on your love life?
Well, update on my love life. Actually, it's more there is no love life. The person I was with kind of deceived me. I still don't have the answers about that. But one thing I can say about her is she actually showed me how to fall in love with a woman. That's the only woman I've ever been in love with. I didn't know how to love because it was never taught to me. How to love a woman. So, with that being said, I haven't talked to her since the bad breakup. But when I see her, I want to say, tell her I really appreciate you really showing me how to love a woman, because she did do that, and nobody was able to do that. I've been through two marriages, and I love them, but I was not in love with them. It's a difference. It was really different. She was different. So my love life right now is there is no love life.
So let me ask you, nobody. Your distrust for this young lady led you to actually start putting trackers on her car. What drove you to that point?
Her behavior. Her behavior was different. And she did something she never did in 6 years. And that stay out overnight. When she did that, the alarm bells went off. And I immediately overnighted a tracker and put it on her car. And it led me to somewhere she never thought I would catch her at.
And where'd you catch her?
I caught her at a hotel. And she had no answers for me when I proposed her. She was shocked. Of course, she didn't show it facially. Like, her body language, I'm watching her body language, she didn't show it. That she was, like, she was caught. She didn't show no emotions that, oh, my God. Her eyebrows ain't flinched. Her face was like stone. And I know what that meant because I read body language books. So I know what that face of stone meant. I know what it meant. It was just a sign.
So do you think maybe she was just at a hotel? Because, you know, hotels have like little lobbies where you can have some drinks and eat a little bit. I think maybe she was just having a cocktail with some friends and, you know, time just passed by talking about the good old days.
Well, you don't have a cocktail. You don't go to a hotel at 3 o'clock to have a cocktail. So I'm not going to, that wasn't the case. To be honest with you, I'm not really 100% sure, you know, what was really going on. I can only assume, and I'm based on my gut feeling and the questions I asked her, that she was probably up there with somebody that she didn't want me to know who she was up there with. Because when I approached her, I said, what's going on? She said, you're jumping to conclusions. And I'm like, okay, so let's go back up there. She never wanted to go back up there. She threw a temper tantrum.
You know, do you think it may have been, okay, I'm here, but you need to believe what I say?
Well, the first thing she said was, I needed a break from you, my mom. You coming down here, this right here. And she just used everything as an excuse to why she was there. But she really wasn't, she came out lying. So she had something to hide. She was lying from the beginning. Said her girlfriend rented it, her peeps rented it. She was drinking, she couldn't make it home, which is not normal for her not to drink and make it home. So you at a hotel from 3 o'clock and you come out at 6:30, getting drunk real bad, don't get better in 3 hours. So how are you able to come out in 3 hours and have yourself together and be able to drive home? No. It don't work like that. So she was just lying from the beginning.
So now I take it you guys are no longer together.
We are no longer together and we have no communication. And that the communication part is what I don't understand, because you are the one that got caught going nonsense. If you wanted to end the relationship, then you could have just said that. We even talked about that. You said no. I'm happy. Okay. You know, like I said, the signs leading up to her going to that hotel, her ring was off. She wasn't wearing her engagement ring no more. She's sleeping downstairs. She's in the garage a lot on the computer. She was just doing a lot of things that wasn't right. She wasn't taking care of our business, per se, as far as business credit, paying the bills, and et cetera, et cetera. She wasn't doing anything, but she was lying to me, telling me she was. So something was going on, and I'm still not sure what is really going on. Because I don't have the answers. I don't even have closure, to be honest with you. I don't know.
So what about, like, you guys shared a bank account. You had over $350,000. Like, whatever happened to the money in the bank?
That's another question that I'm asking myself. Where did all the money go to? Because she certainly don't have it because she's broke. She's broke. I don't know. I really don't have the answer for that. I know, you know, part of it, some of it went to the business as far as buying material, equipment, all that stuff. Bought a couple properties. And I did some things with some of the money. Well, I know where some of the money went to. Let me say most of it. Some of it. Just a fraction of it. Like a quarter of the money. I know where it went. But the rest of the money, I was confused about where it went. I still don't know.
Now that the relationship is over, the relationship is over now. So how do you feel inside? Do you feel like you could like smack her up a little bit, make her come to her senses? Or you're just more like the guy of, I'm just going to just let her be?
Well, the one thing, hitting her is not an option. But I will say this. I like to have a conversation and to know why things went the way they went. Because I still don't know to the day why. Or she could say, oh, I didn't want to be in a relationship. Or well, she was trying to play me with the other guy. See if the other guy was going to, his situation was going to get better for her to leave away from me. Or she's trying to play him and hold on to me. Like, it just wasn't adding up to me. So I would like to have a conversation with her, of course. But that's probably not going to never happen because she's embarrassed.
So now, are you like back on the map? Are you dating? What's going on in your life now?
Right now, I just got a couple of women that I see here and there, and that's really it. And I got one on the hook that she's a real nice woman. She invited me to a cookout, and she's nice, and she could be probably somebody I can really start really just trying to get to know and see what's going on with her. Because we met by me doing carpet in her house, and obviously she took the picture of me and Instagrammed the picture, and her brother said, hey, I know him. I went to school with him. And then it started from there. She must have told him I was a good guy, which I am. And she was entertained by that. And she heard stuff about me. So she just, you know, she flirts with me indirectly on the phone every morning.
So now, how does this affect your relationship going forward with somebody new? Will you be as trusting?
Well, I'm not going to say I would be as trusting, but I would just definitely keep my eyes and ears open and really pay attention to the person. And any red signs or any red flags I see, I'm just going to just back away. I'm not going to ignore the signs anymore. The last person I was with had a lot of red flags, and I ignored every last one of them.
And how do you feel about not having closure to this relationship? Is this something that haunts you every day? Because you have something there that you want to let loose, but it's like the person you need to let loose with is like, they don't want to speak.
It goes out the door at me every day. It goes to the bed with me every day. Every day. Every day. So what did I do with that bad? You not the one to talk. It ain't making no sense.
How do you think you could be healed from this situation where it wouldn't affect your new relationship?
Well, I don't have all the answers, but I'm just going to take one day at a time, and you know, just see how where it takes me. You know, just maybe the new person will loosen me up a little bit. You know, you never know. I just have to say.
Well, it's good that you have a support team. I would assume you have a good support team of friends that can help you along the way and be that voice of reason. And I'm glad that you haven't resorted to domestic violence, because these type of situations can lead to bad things. So I commend you for being the man that you are and saying, all I want is a conversation. I don't want to like beat her down, you know? So that's very promising. blessing to know. You're very compassionate when it comes to that. There was a guy, his name is, I can't even pronounce his name, Rahman. He wanted me to mention his name, and he wanted to know, why did you end the relationship so abruptly instead of giving it more time and fighting for the woman if you really loved her?
Are you speaking to me? Why didn't I, or why didn't he?
Yeah. No, why didn't you give that's his question. Why didn't you give the relationship more time instead of just ending it so abruptly?
Well, here's the answer to that. Because I've dealt with a situation before when a woman didn't have no communication. And I just knew I wasn't going to accept that or go back to that anymore from anybody. I did. I would try to talk to her, she didn't want to talk. She probably was in such a bad space where she didn't want to talk. So much was going on with her in her head. She has a lot of issues going on at that time. I went down to a building that we owned together, and I went down in the building, and she caught me down there, and she said, "You won't even give me a chance to get my head together." So when she said that, I said, "Okay, let me just back off of her and just let her go, let her be." And that's what I did. So I did give her a chance to get herself together. It's been since November. Actually, it's been since November. And here we are going into June. That's 7 months. I mean, how long does it take to get your head together to have a conversation? I'm open for a conversation. I'm open to figure out what happened. And then her mother said something to the fact that, well, she might, I don't know. Give her time to come back. That's if she wants to come back. So they know more about what was going on than I know. I don't know nothing. I'm in the blind about everything. I don't know what was even going on because she wasn't talking. So I gave her time. I gave her time to come to me, to see, you know, to talk. My phone, I'm blocked from her. I can't call her. I'm blocked. And all that, and I don't know.
Jeff from the West Coast wants to know, do you fall in love easily?
Me? No, absolutely not. Because I have trust issues. Absolutely not.
And Debbie from Arkansas wants to know, do you feel as though the relationship was too much for her to handle?
That I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'm just in the blind. And I don't have to answer that because I don't know. I am a very, I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to be in a relationship with somebody else that was doing more, just doing what she was doing. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird. I don't know.
There's a lady by the name of Mabel. She wants to find out, why did it take you so long to make a decision to marry her after being in a long-term relationship?
Well, because she said she didn't want to be married. And she said she didn't want to have no kids, but she didn't have no kids. The answer to that was that I wasn't in love with her. So that's why I made the conscious decision just to hold off and wait to see, you know. It wasn't until I talked to a few of my friends and they told me, hey, you got to let go and you have to give it a try. How are you going to know how to receive love if you don't give it? So I think in the last 2 years, I started really letting go. And look where letting go, look where it took me at.
Let me ask you, do you think that maybe you were holding on for the wrong reasons?
When she say holding on, meaning?
Like, you know, some guys, they're in relationships long term. They know that it's going to be a dead end street. But they're like, you know, I'm still just going to stay here because I'm in my comfort zone.
No, I was in it. I was
like,
into
you
the
think
relationship.
You were pretty
I was
much
really
comfortable?
into it.
So you pretty much were like, I'm ready to give this thing a shot, even though she wants no children. She doesn't want to be married yet, but maybe one day she'll change her mind.
And she did. She did. We both went and picked that ring out together. We picked that ring out together. And it ain't until I think on her birthday, I presented it to her. And she's an emotional woman, so she started crying and all that. And her mother was right there when I presented it to her. And I was in it for the whole haul. I was definitely in it.
So the women that you're dating now, do you think you're really ready to start a new, not even so much of a relationship, but a friendship?
My relationship and type of women that I deal with now is basically women that we enjoy each other's company. Let me just say that, and that's all it is.
So, do you find yourself more so attracted to women who are like, you know, they got their own money, they got their own house, they got it going on? Or would you take a woman that is, you know, low budget, she's, you know, house full of babies, you know, trying to survive? Like, what are you willing to accept at this stage of the game in your life?
Well, the next person just have to be, they don't have to have a lot of money, but they got to come, you know, they got to be workable. Let me just say that. They got to be workable. I'm not going to say they have to have a ton of money. I'm not going to, you know, have to say that they, you know, have a lot of kids. That don't scare me. But they have to come in a way where they, I'm looking for a woman that got the drive. I'm 58 and my drive is off the chart. I don't feel nobody can match it or do the things that I do on a daily basis. And everybody told me to slow down, but I'll slow down when my kids bury me. That's when I'll slow down. But I need a woman with a drive. I need a woman that's supportive and understands who I am and what I represent and what I'm about. And if you're trying to go there, we'll get there. As long as you in my corner and I'm in your corner, we'll get there. So this is a woman that's workable and got potential. That's what I look for.
So would you date a woman that had, like, she had it going on, she can hold her own fort, and she had, like, 10, 11 kids, you know, she's like, we're a package deal. I mean, how would you react to that?
Well, I mean, the kids don't scare me. It's just, you know, as long as she can, you know, hold her own and we can work together and do some wonderful things together, business-wise, and I'll be more willing to move in that direction if it was presented to me.
And what about cleanliness? Like, would that play a part in making a decision to, like, move forward? You know, if she's a clean woman, she has OCD, because a woman can have OCD and it could be a turnoff for a guy. You know, so what are you willing to accept as far as a woman having OCD, or she's like mediocre, she dusts and clean every now and then? Or what if you went to a woman's house and she's sleeping on just a mattress with no sheets? But she's beautiful. She has it going on. What if you now saw that her home life was not in order, but everything else was?
Well, she's sloppy at home and sloppy with how she takes care of her house, and she has to be sloppy with business. And that probably will be a turnoff for me. I have to go into it with my eyes open, not judging, but...
Would it make you have, like, PTSD, like a flashback from the last relationship somehow?
Well, absolutely, yeah, because, you know, I had that, and, you know, it was a turnoff, but I dealt with it because I loved her that much. I dealt with it. I dealt with all her flaws, her smoking marijuana, her in the basement on the computer all day, sleeping down on the couch. I dealt with all the red flags. That was a sign of somebody that was crazy about their woman, and I was.
Well, let me just throw this question out there, because I'm just curious, because I'm a female and I know that men have their own cliches. So I wanted to ask if there's any truth to this cliche. If a woman's feet smell bad, does it mean that the whole entire package smells bad?
That's not necessarily true. She can just have a bad day or have some shoes on she's been wearing, and she just never got a chance to deal with the shoes. And because sometimes, some people got bad older feet. That doesn't necessarily mean that the other situation is bad. So I can't. It may be some truth to it, and it may not. Just the individual. You know, some women, hygiene ain't all that great, and some is.
What about, because some women are kissers, and they'll say, they like to kiss. What if you saw, like, bad dental hygiene? Like, what would trigger you to say, this is a bad situation, and I got to run?
Well, consistency. If it consistent to be that way, and I don't see no changes, then yeah, I would back up. And maybe I would even say something in a joking way to let her know that,
Like what would you say? How would you say it?
I would probably say to her, man, I wear my shoes, my sneakers, but no socks on. Sometimes my feet be stinking sometimes. I said, so sometimes when you do that, when you wear, sneakers and shoes, sometimes you got to clean them out. You got to take time out to, make sure your feet is washed and all that, because sometimes you can have an odor and don't even realize it. I said, because that has happened to me. So what I do a reverse psychology and present myself that it happens to me so you can hear it. He said, well, dang, maybe my feet do stink. Maybe I need to make the change. And she'll hear it, and maybe she'll make the adjustment. And if she doesn't make the adjustment, then it is what it is. I'll just start stepping away, because I can't deal with a woman who hygiene is not right.
Well, caller, I'd like to thank you for calling in today. It was so good to speak to you again. And hopefully we'll follow up on your next relationship, just to make sure it's not a toxic one that could land you in a bad spot, because it does, sometimes men have a breaking point of tolerance. So we like to still keep in touch with you if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a great day. I guess we'll be following up with the caller soon. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me.
Whiz. So you mean to tell me stinky feet are in? That's the kind of guy that I need, guys. I need a guy who's going to be, if my feet really were like musty, I know some women that got musty feet. Now, listen, if he's willing to like throw the hint out, like, look, your feet smell bad, I got the same issue, reverse psychology. If she wants to put yesterday's meal on his tongue because she didn't brush her teeth for like a day or two. That's the kind of guy you want, ladies. You want the guy that's going to accept you with all these flaws. So if you don't smell right, you're having a bad day, you'll get away with it with this kind of guy. This guy's going to love you regardless of what you look like, what you smell like. He's going to be that guy that says, I'll take her. I'll take her and I'll clean her up. I'll even buy her some new shoes. Maybe the shoes are bad. That's the kind of guy you want to have in your corner. He's been through some tough times. Toxic, could have went the other way. You're coming out of a hotel. The guy has a tracker on your car. And then he blows your brains out, let's say. These are things that can happen and things can go severely wrong. Some women take chances, but this guy sounds like a really nice guy who just got the short end of the stick. And if you have to go that far to put a tracker on a car because she's doing disappearing acts, and you know what? The young lady that had the question about, you know, him falling in love, or I think that was the other guy from West Coast. But anywho, it's, you know, he gave this relationship 6 years of his life. So the guy has to be a little devastated behind it. You know, don't be so quick to judge, because I've been getting some messages here that people are saying, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that falls in love and he doesn't even know that, you know, he's in love or she's in love or vice versa. You know, things happen that way, guys, sometimes. We're not going to be so quick to judge. Just know that there's true love out there for somebody today. And, you know, accepting someone that smells bad, that is geographically, spontaneously splendid. Because some people, if you have a funny odor, you know, they're like rolling the window down, they're turning up the air in the car, they're even offering you gum and mints and something, you know, to put the fire out. Because they're like, the smell is killing them. They're in an enclosed car. And can you imagine if it was the wintertime? All the windows are down, not just the driver's window. All the windows are down, you know, and they're smelling like a dirty gym bag. I don't know if you guys have ever smelled a dirty gym bag, but if you put wet clothes in a gym bag and you seal it up overnight, you can't imagine the fumes, the deadly fumes that's going to come out of that, that is going to be so atrocious. You think you're dead already. You know, so it pays to deal with someone who knows about being clean, having fresh smelling breath, because some people, they'll talk to you. And I kind of hate the fact that the mask mandate has been lifted, because I'm in a room with people and I'm saying, you know, they smell like yesterday's meal, like they didn't brush your teeth today. Then they got the old food flying out. It's a little distraughtful. You know, to see that. I kind of like the mask because it kind of contained the smell, you know, with some people. And they think that they smell so great that, you know, I mean, I just got a crazy message. So I can't even, I can't even repeat it at this stage of the game. But it has to do with, I'll tell you guys anyway, because this is a no filter show. So gum in your ass was the comment that was sent to me. So, you know, people have to brush, floss, if anything, you know, keep some breath mints. That's why they came out with Altoids. They wanted you to know there was something that can kill the stench. You ever see you offer someone an Altoid? They're like, oh, this is strong. Oh, my mouth is on fire. It's because it's burning the bacteria in their mouths. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard for some people to burn up that effect of bacteria. So I kind of know where, you know, some people are coming from when they hide, you know, they try to hide the stench. You know, sometimes you can't even hide it. You still smell it through the peppermint, through the spearmint, through the, it's just horrible, guys. It's horrible. But guys, I'd like to thank you all for coming on today. Thank you guys for coming on today. It's so many people on today. It's over 13 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast. I'm so glad you guys love the show. Next week, I have a better treat. Clothing designer that almost lost his life over a gun that was buried in his backyard that he was falsely accused of. Let's get him on the show and hear his story and how that toxic situation ended up for him. Thanks for coming on, guys. See you next Tuesday. Same bad place, same bad time. Tommy Torres signing off. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.